You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
Hey everyone, welcome into a special Wednesday edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshell, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. Producer, Chris Corso, by my side. What up, CC?
What's going on? This is a crazy week.
Yeah, well, it's a long week. So Chris and I were thinking extra day this week to prepare for the Bears because we play on Monday night. So we're going to bring in an extra Wobcast.
That's right.
Why the heck not, man? We're sitting around here on a Wednesday waiting for the team to practice for the first time on Thursday. So we got some time, and there's tons of stuff going on with the Vikings. Not all of it's good, by the way. And so we thought we'd update you here, use a special edition Wobcast to do so. I say not all of it is good because the number one thing is the Dalvin Cook injury. Sad face, man. This stinks.
This is. I've been here since 2015, and we've lost our quarterback and running back in the last 2 years. Yeah. Starters Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian last year, and now Dalvin. And Sam, we don't know right now.
It's ridiculous. So
it's kind of like we're cursed a little bit.
Yeah, it feels that way. I think a lot of fan bases feel like their team is cursed. Vikings fans, though, have some pretty strong ground on which to stand to support that theory. But you got to soldier on. You got to keep going. They're not going to postpone or cancel these games for us. No one's going to feel bad because we lost our quarterback and running back. We don't know if we lost our quarterback. Sam Bradford's status up in the air. Dalvin Cook's not up in the air. Torn ACL, out for the season. Huge bummer, Chris, because as you've detailed in our notes, Dalvin Cook was off to a great start.
He was. He was off to a spectacular start so far. Rush total and yards from scrimmage, 444, which was ranked third in the NFL through 4 weeks. He's had runs of 33, 32, 26, and 25 yards in his first couple games, as well as a 36-yard reception in week three. So he really had that big play ability, and we're going to miss that.
Yeah, we are going to miss that. Now, we know Dalvin because we've been around him now for half of a year, and he's going to work hard and he's going to come back. This, you know, Coach Zimmer in his press conference earlier in the week obviously delivered bad news with the ACL tear, but also was optimistic about Dalvin's prognosis for a full recovery. So we're hopeful he's going to be back and ready to go for the 2018 season. That's not going to help us in 2017, but he should be able to make a full recovery. I say should, and I knock on wood. It's not me who's going through the rehab. Yep. It's him. But we have a great training staff, and Dalvin Cook is a hard worker. So we expect him to make it all the way back. Now, Coach Zimmer, as we said, did speak earlier in the week about a lot of different things, but the number one thing on everyone's mind was Dalvin Cook. And here's Zim talking about his running back.
As far as the status of Dalvin Cook, he does have a torn ACL, and we'll move forward for there. So, questions?
You'd have to sign another running back, I assume?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, we're looking at everything now, yeah.
Is there a timeline on surgery with that?
He has to wait till the swelling goes down. It's like every ACL, you know, he has to wait till the swelling goes down and they'll have it done.
What have you observed about Michael Floyd and how he's gone about suspension the last 4 weeks?
It's good. He's been in the meetings. You know, he's been on top of things. He stays in contact with me. So it's been good.
He had a chance to talk with Dalvin at all, how his mindset is. He seemed pretty distraught yesterday.
Yeah, I talked to him after the game. I saw him this morning for a minute, but you know, he's a great kid. You know, I'm extremely impressed with everything he's done to this point. It's, you know, it's obviously a terrible thing for him and for us, but you know, we'll move forward and go on from there. But he's, you know, he's a great worker, and I have no doubt that he'll come back from this.
Mike, getting more damage than the ACL, or is that the extent of it?
You know, like on most of these ACLs, there's a little bit of cartilage, I think meniscus, but it's nothing. I mean, it's a normal, typical ACL.
Mike, the history that this training staff has of bringing guys back from ACLs, is that something you guys lean on?
Yeah.
To give yourselves a little bit of confidence that Dalvin will be able to do the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I talked to him last night about it, you know, about the doctors that we have here and the medical staff and, you know, how they were able to rehab the last great runner here. And, you know, I expect him to come back and be the same as He was.
All right, so we move on. Soft spot in our hearts for Dalvin Cook, and we'll root him on in his rehab, but we're moving on to all these games. 12 more games to go, Chris. The Vikings signed Latavius Murray as a free agent this offseason, and they did so before they drafted Dalvin Cook,
yep.
Which means they thought he could shoulder the primary workload at running back.
That's right.
And so now Latavius is going to get a chance to do that.
That's a good point, Wobby. In the offseason, we obviously signed Latavius Murray coming off of a great season from the Oakland Raiders. 12 touchdowns for them, a big-time runner in the red zone for the Raiders offense, which was great last year. And that's right. We signed him in the offseason. Before the draft, we didn't know that Dalvin Cook was going to fall where he did to us in the second round. So our staff has confidence that he could be the number one guy. And I think he can be a number one guy. He's done it before. He did it in Oakland for one of the best offenses in the league. And 12 touchdowns, that's no joke in this league.
No, it's not. And he's been a 1,000-yard rusher. And I don't know that, you know, I'm not going to sell Latavius short and tell you he can't be a home run hitter and he can't create big plays, because maybe he can. And I'll be rooting for him, too. But he doesn't appear to be the home run hitter that Dalvin Cook is. But the deal is, we have home run hitters in this offense. Diggs and Thielen and Rudy. We're getting Michael Floyd back. More on that in a minute. Like, you know, Latavius Murray doesn't have to come in here and be Barry Sanders. Like, no. Latavius Murray's got to come in here and run for 4 yards a carry so the play action pass works, and so we can use our 4-minute offense when we have a lead at the end of a game and run the clock out. That's what Latavius has to do. And by the way, we still have our defense.
And we always have our defense. A good defensive team. You just need a solid running back. And I think with having Murray and then having another guy in Jerick McKinnon, who was the full-time back last year, I think these two guys will complement each other pretty well. We could be in a worse position.
If Sam Bradford can get back in the mix and play, the Vikings are going to be able to survive this injury and be contenders.
That's for sure.
Going down the stretch. So that's going to be the key, is getting the starting quarterback back and being healthy at that position. Hopefully we can do that. And hopefully Teddy can make his way back, too, to add some depth to that position, because we've already had to tap into it. Probably a roster move of some kind coming up.
That's for sure.
With regard to Dalvin Cook going to the season-ending injured reserve, that will open up a roster spot. Of course, you'll try and add a running back to your team somehow, whether it's the practice squad, some guy that none of us have ever heard of that we're going to grab from some other team's practice squad or from off the street.
Yep.
Or some big name free agent. I say big name using air quotes, but any names off the top of your head?
Yeah, so I took a look at some of the running backs out there. Guys that come to mind are Ryan Matthews, who of course was drafted really high in the first round by the San Diego Chargers at the time. Had a couple shaky seasons with injuries with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a big name, and he's out there as a free agent. And then another guy I'm looking at, this is more of a veteran who has some proven success in the league, and that's D'Angelo Williams. He was with the Carolina Panthers for all those years, and then he goes to the Steelers in a more of a role that he would play for us as the veteran back who can definitely get that first
like
down
that.
For you.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
My wife, Allie, she wants us to sign Rashad Jennings because he was on Dancing with the Stars and she fell in love with him.
Well, I'm from New York, as you know, and I watched him play with the Giants, and I don't think his play is...
Okay, so you're off that?
I support the Dancing with the Stars, but I think... he had a lot of potential coming out from a small school in college, but he never really hit that. But any of those guys, they're... They definitely give us a little more of an option than just having two.
Maybe they can, maybe they can't give your offense juice. They definitely give you depth, because
that's what we're looking for.
Well,
is depth.
Yeah, I mean, you lose a starter, and obviously the number two and number three guys can step up, and now you don't have a number three guy anymore. We do have CJ Ham, converted running back, who's now the fullback. I guess that helps. It'll just be interesting to see what the Vikings do there with a corresponding roster move. Dalvin Cook to IR opens up a spot. Because you have Michael Floyd coming back. So you can just do that swap if you want, but again, that's not helping your running back stable out. You probably gotta add a guy there. So it'll be interesting to see how the Vikings go through the process of getting Michael Floyd back on the roster. His 4-game suspension is now over. He is eligible to return to the Vikings 53-man roster. The Vikings will obviously have to make a corresponding roster move there if they want to bring Michael Floyd into the mix. Chris, I'm excited about Michael Floyd's return.
You have to be.
To the team, because I was really impressed with him this summer.
Yep, he had a great training camp for the Vikings. He made plays in just about every practice that I could remember. Obviously going against some of the corners that are not starters when he was getting reps with the second team and third team there. But he did work his way up to first team reps in training camp, which was good to see. And he did play and get reps during the preseason. But what I'm looking at is his stats back with the Arizona Cardinals, and that's 246 career catches, 3,781 yards, and 24 touchdowns. He averaged 15.4 yards per catch. That's a big number for a guy who we're looking to make big plays. And when you already have Diggs and Thielen back there, I think the big target of Michael Floyd is just an added bonus.
I think it is, too. And I think about those times when it's a passing down, Chris, and you've got Diggs, Thielen, Floyd, and Rudy on the field.
So that's tough to stop.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's, 1999 St. Louis Rams.
No.
Whatever. I'm not here to compare it to some other team. I'm just saying matching up against that is hard. That's a hard matchup because, you're going to be outmatched size-wise with Floyd and Rudy. And obviously, Diggs and Thielen are getting open all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just a hard matchup. Now, the key is going to be to protect. You're going to have to protect with those four weapons out there.
Yep.
With three receivers and a tight end all being deployed into routes, got to protect. But I just really like that. And so that's why I'm not doom and gloom on losing Cooks. Super bummed out for him. Super bummed out because you never know how a guy comes back from a surgery.
Yep.
And super bummed out for us because it looked like he was going to have a kick-ass season. So I'm bummed out about all that. But
I don't blame you.
Right. But we can survive it.
That's right.
Floyd coming back helps. Hopefully Bradford can get back into the lineup too.
Well yeah. So with Michael Floyd, obviously you're bringing a guy who had three seasons in the league with at least 840 receiving yards. So you're going to have to make a roster move. So Wobby, what are we thinking when it comes to a roster move, potentially moving someone down to the practice squad or having to waive somebody? What do you think our options are?
I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, Stacy Coley, the rookie receiver from Miami, has already been active for a game. So that tells me that when it comes to the two rookies, Rodney Adams and Stacy Coley, the pecking order for now is Coley on top and Adams second.
Yeah.
So if a guy goes to the practice squad, I read into that as it would be Adams who would go down, Floyd would come up. Because both those guys are on the 53 right now.
Yep.
So you bring one of them down, you open up a spot, Floyd can jump up there. You got Jarius Wright as well, who's kind of sitting out there. You got Laquan Treadwell. These are all names that you think about. And then it doesn't necessarily have to be a wide receiver. I think it will be, but you could... you could go to another position and knock a guy off and bring him down to the practice squad and fill Floyd in there. I don't think that's the way you would go, but it is an option for you if you wanted to do that. So
yeah, normally you keep six wide receivers is what you keep, and that's
seven
would be pushing it.
I think so.
Yeah,
but so we'll see what happens. That's all going to happen here. Today or tomorrow.
Yeah,
Wednesday or Thursday.
It's got to happen sometime this week before the Chicago game, so we'll be waiting on that.
Okay, we're going to take a look at the entire NFL through a quarter of a season in a minute. First, though, we are excited to bring you our chat with Good Morning Footballs and Fox NFL Sundays, Peter Schrager. Peter Schrager does sideline games for Fox and appears on Fox's morning show. He also is on Good Morning Football, which is on NFL Network on weekdays. He's super cool. The show Good Morning Football is super cool. And Peter did both of our last two games at US Bank Stadium.
That's right.
Sideline reporting duties for Fox. And so he's got his eye on us. And so we chatted with him before the game against the Lions on the sideline. He had a few things to say about the Vikings. Here's what it sounded like.
All right, Good Morning Football. Yeah. Dude, you guys, I know the ratings are really good recently, but you guys look like you have so much fun on the show.
I love that. Well, we do have fun. It's with former Viking Nate Burleson, obviously. But what we do is we talk football. It's a great novelty to do that on a sports network. You don't see it everywhere, but our goal is to talk football, keep it to football, do highlights, and we are getting great feedback from the fans. So yeah, we love our football and we love talking about the sport, not necessarily everything that comes with all the other sports that are being talked about other networks.
How about your travel? You got sideline games on the weekends, you're out in LA, you're out in New York. What's that like?
Yeah, I have the best gig in the world. Monday through Thursday, I'm in studio in New York doing the show, and then Thursday afternoon I'll fly out and I'll be on site to whatever game we're going to be at in the facility, as you've seen me on Fridays, of whatever the home team is. Saturday we meet the visiting team. Sunday I'm honored to be at the games. You're hearing it behind me now. And then I take a red-eye flight or a late flight back and back in 4 a.m. Monday back in the studio.
Pretty awesome. U.S. Bank Stadium, what do you think?
Unbelievable. I was saying this on air this week. It's not only the most state-of-the-art building that I've been in, I haven't seen the Atlanta one yet, but the fans are so educated that when the Vikings are on offense, it's silent. It's like offense at work, silent. You don't get that everywhere else. Like, I know other stadiums, and it's chaos both, you know, when the team's on. Intelligent fans, amazing home field advantage. You know, I'd be surprised they lose many games at home ever.
What's the one thing you've seen from the Vikings where you're like, if they keep doing that, they're going to be all right?
The defense is so good. Xavier Rhodes, I've seen him a few times in person, but to watch him on Mike Evans last week, to watch the tape of him on Mike Thomas, to watch him on Antonio Brown, I don't know how you pass on the Vikings. I don't know how you throw all over the Vikings. So if they can score 20 points every game, there's no reason the Vikings can't be playing here in February.
All right, brother, you're the man. Thanks for your time. Stay busy, all right?
I loved it. Good morning, football. Watch it.
Alrighty, our thanks to Peter Schrager for joining us. Super cool cat. Hope to see him down the road here at some of our games down the stretch.
We'll see him at the Super Bowl, that's
yeah,
for sure.
That's right. That's yeah. Right. He's coming here. Alright, quarter of the season recap, Chris. We got a few things to go over here. Number one on the list, the only undefeated team remaining in the NFL is the New England... No. The Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right. We saw that week one when they beat the New England Patriots, which was a statement win, that's for sure.
Yeah, so the Chiefs remain undefeated. They win a dramatic game on Monday Night Football against the Washington Redskins, which is great for us because the Chiefs are an AFC team, the Redskins are an NFC team, and yep. If we're going to be fighting for playoff positioning down the stretch, we want every NFC team to pick up as many losses as possible. The Redskins had an L dropped on them in the final minute of the game against the Chiefs. These Kansas City Chiefs, Chris, I think they're for real.
They're good, and we've been talking about all the weapons they have, but the number one guy that we're looking at is Mr. Kareem Hunt out of Toledo.
Rookie.
Rookie, just like what we had in Dalvin Cook, a guy who can make people miss. He's actually leading the NFL with 502 rushing yards, and the one stat that I saw, which is pretty amazing, is he's on pace for 2,008 rushing yards if he continues at the same pace, which is exactly 200 more yards than Eric Dickerson's record for a rookie running back in NFL history. So this guy is no joke.
Andy Reid found himself a back.
He did.
All righty. Number two, as we look across the NFL for quarter of the season talkers.
We're talking us.
Is a Viking.
That's right.
Number one in receiving yards in 2017 is...
Stephon Diggs.
Yes. On fire. 391 receiving yards. Number one in the NFL.
He's also second in receiving touchdowns with four. The leader has five, so he's right there on that one.
My man's always open.
Yep.
My man is always open, and if he's not open, he's high-pointing the football in the end zone for a touchdown anyway, so it don't matter.
Yep.
Stephon Diggs on fire.
With the quarterbacks we've had, too, it doesn't matter.
Feed 14 the ball.
Yep. I agree.
Keep doing it. Keep doing it. He is a beast to cover, and he's a beast to tackle after he catches it. Stephon Diggs on fire. All right, number three. The Los Angeles Rams. They're 3-1.
3-1. The leaders in the AFC West. It's one thing to note is they were 3-1 last season.
Oh, they were?
They were exactly 3-1 at this point last season.
This team is so much better than last year's
Rams
team.
But they are. They're a different team. They have Todd Gurley, who is the NFC Offensive Player of the Month. He joined some elite company on Sunday. This is a Gil Brandt stat from NFL.com, becoming the third player in NFL history to amass 575-plus yards from scrimmage and 7-plus touchdowns in the first four games of the season. He had an offseason last year, but, man, is he on? He's on fire.
He had three touchdowns in the first half.
Yep.
In the Thursday night game against San Francisco.
Yeah, that was it.
My goodness gracious, that guy's a beast. The Vikings, I think, handled Todd Gurley pretty well.
In 2015.
Yep,
that was the Jeff Fisher game when Teddy got hit a little late there.
Right, I remember that, yep. Now, we're going to see Todd Gurley this year. We play the Rams here in like a month from now or a month and a half. So, Sean McVay, their new head coach, I think he knows what the heck he's doing. Jared Goff looks like the number one overall pick everyone thought he should have been when he was taken number one overall, but didn't look that way last year. He looks that way this year. Sammy Watkins all over the place.
That's a team to watch.
Andre Whitworth at left tackle.
Yep.
And Trumaine Johnson at corner. Aaron Donald. I mean, man, those Rams, they might be onto something. All right. So we're impressed with them. Also 3-1. And leaders in the AFC East.
We're not saying the New England Patriots again. We're just teasing those.
Circle the wagons for the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills Mafia, 3-1, beating the Super Bowl contending. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but they were in the Super Bowl. The Atlanta Falcons beating them this week.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta, 3-1. It's the first time they're leading the AFC East week four or later since week seven of 2008. That was the year they started out pretty hot behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's been a while for them. This is definitely something of note.
They're at the Bengals this week. Also 3-1, Philadelphia Eagles with Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson and Alshon Jeffrey. And a great offensive line, 3-1 Eagles.
That's definitely another thing to note. We mentioned the Redskins lost, and the Rams beat the Cowboys this past week. And then you have the Giants at 0-4. That's certainly a surprise in that division. Yeah. So you got to keep an eye on Carson Wentz, another rookie guy last year, him and Goff. 1,058 yards, 6 touchdowns, and just 2 interceptions. He's been pretty good in his sophomore year there in Philadelphia with a lot of weapons that you just mentioned.
Yep, now I got 2 more that I want to bring up to you, all right, off the top of your head.
Let's do it.
I want your thoughts. I know that you love when the Patriots face adversity.
I love it.
Having grown up in New York. So
I love it.
We're not trash-talking the Patriots as members of the Vikings. You are just from... You're from the Northeast.
That's right.
And you're a New York guy, so you have the right to root against the Patriots. So this is not bulletin board material for Belichick for our game against them in the Super Bowl this year.
That's right.
But you like it. Okay, so now, they're 2-2. Are you like, are you just like so happy and giddy? Or are you just like, let's slow down a minute here. They're going
to
come back.
Well, I have to say I was happy and giddy when they were down 28-3 in the Super Bowl. And I was texting a ton of those guys there in Boston. Uh-huh. And that did not turn out well.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
So I will keep my feelings down a little bit on this. But I do want to note their defense, and it is not the same defense that they had last year. Tim Hightower, their star linebacker, going down. They're definitely missing some talent there in the middle of their defense, and there's a ton of talent in that secondary. And Stephen Gilmore, the corner that they picked up from the Buffalo Bills, and they are not playing well.
No.
You saw the game against the Texans 2 weeks ago where they gave up a lot of points and Tom Brady was able to save them. And then Cam Newton just torched them last week and there was nothing Tom Brady could do in that one. So
I am not panic button guy with the Patriots.
Never. He can be.
You aren't either?
Okay. I'm going to say that they will be there at least in the AFC championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs is my guess.
They are 2-2 through 4 games.
Yep.
If they are 4-4 through 8 games,
then
we'll talk.
Then we'll talk.
Right? Okay.
I still think a team like the Denver Broncos with a stud defense can beat them, especially if they get a home game versus them in the playoffs at some point.
But interesting to see how that happens.
We'll see.
All right, last one for the quarter of the season review. Every week in my office on my whiteboard, I do my own power rankings. 1 through 12.
Wow. And we track them on Vikings.com.
We do. Not ours or mine or yours, just nationally. It's just not what we do. We don't do stuff like power rankings and mock drafts that we put out ourselves, but I do it myself just for fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, and I want to ask you, this week was hard because Kansas City's number one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do after that.
It's tough.
Top of your head, fill out your top 5 for me, please.
Top of my head.
You have to do Kansas City number one.
Kansas City has to be number one if you go by power rankings.
Mine. I take a photo of it every week.
Yep.
So I have it for my records on my phone. I got mine filled out for the week, so I'm set. I want to know who your top 5 are.
Well, you go Kansas City number one. Number two, I mean, you have to have the Rams up there. I wouldn't say they're two.
I have them 10th.
Oh, you have them 10th, yeah.
Everyone's three. Everyone is 3-1.
I'd go maybe Eagles too.
Okay, I have the Eagles third.
Yeah, so the Eagles third.
I have a surprise team at number two.
Yeah, so I'll go. Eagles. I hate saying it, but you might have to put Buffalo in there too.
I agree with you. I have Buffalo fifth.
Yeah, and their defense is definitely has impressed, and Tyrod Taylor has played great.
Dude, I have two NFC North teams in the top five.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to go with the Packers there.
I have Green Bay second.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it. That's why I pushed them down to four. And then Lions.
Detroit fourth.
Yeah.
So my top five are Kansas City, Green Bay, Philly, Detroit, and Buffalo.
Wow.
I mean, but this is tough because in the top five, Atlanta, who before they lost to the Bills, I would have said is the best team in the NFC.
I agree, but they did have a tough, they barely beat the Chicago Bears.
Right, I know.
Which is crazy, week one.
I don't have Atlanta in my top five.
Yep.
Pittsburgh, not in my top five.
Nope.
I picked them to go to the AFC title game.
They lost to the Chicago Bears. That's a tough loss, and if you're going power rankings rules, that's... it's not a good loss.
I think the Vikings have the best defense in the NFL. The second best defense in the NFL is Denver's. They're not in my top five. They're eighth.
Yeah,
New England is ninth.
Gotta love it.
The Rams, 10th, Washington, 11th, and Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys, who were world beaters last year, I have them as 12th. I mean,
they have two losses, so that's...
I know.
When you get that second loss...
I think with Bradford, the Vikings are in the mix to be in the top 12. I think Seattle's in the mix to be in the top 12, if they're right. Deshaun Watson has me inspired. I just think you people who are listening to us right now, do it yourself. Your top 12.
Yeah, off of your top of your head right there. You don't think of a team like the Steelers because you just remember, I mean, teams that have been proven in the past are not the same teams this year.
Like Oakland?
Yeah, we didn't even mention Oakland.
I took them out because they don't have Derek Carr for 2 weeks, so yeah. I had to take them out.
That's why I didn't. That's why I didn't have them in there. But it is tough. You mentioned the Texans, and this is a conversation that we had at the lunch table yesterday.
Yeah, I mean,
give us your opinion on the quarterback there, Deshaun Watson.
They found one.
Yeah,
found a quarterback.
Yeah,
Deshaun Watson is their guy. Bill O'Brien has had 11,000 different quarterbacks since being named Texans head coach. He ain't going to have any more. He's got Deshaun Watson.
Convinced on Deshaun Watson?
That is his guy. Deshaun Watson should have been the first pick in the draft.
You said that at the combine this year. So you are. It's not a new thing. You're not hopping on a bandwagon.
I don't feel like I am. No, I've been on this guy.
That's why I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah.
I was very surprised how confident you were in this guy. But when you look at it, he's never lost.
I know. He wins everywhere.
Look at him. He beat Alabama in the national championship game on the game-winning drive. Yeah. I mean, that's about as proven as it could be.
The Texans and their fans should be super excited about what they have in Deshaun Watson. And look, he might flame out. I could be wrong, and he's not the guy, but he is the closest thing they've had to the guy since Bill O'Brien has been there.
So. 57 points last week.
Yeah.
So
I think you win a lot of your games if you do that.
If you have a Zimmer defense and you score 57 points, you'll probably go undefeated.
And their defense is good.
Yeah.
They do have a good defense.
They do have
Clowney
a good defense.
Clowney and Watt.
Clowney
Jonathan Joseph.
His knee is finally figured out, and he's been a force in there. So. Yeah.
All right. We got anything else before we head out of here?
I think the last thing we're going to bring up, and this is a Vikings PR stat of the day.
Okay.
We're going to bring this up before we let you go. Since 1991.
That's when the Twins won the World Series, by the way.
And they lost to the Yankees last night. We'll just bring that up. But
I'm trying to live in the past,
Since 1991, Vikings 20-plus yard receptions weeks 1 through 4. Stephon Diggs has 8, and he's tied with a couple of big Vikings names in the past. Randy Moss in 2003 had 8 through weeks 1 through 4.
He was good.
Jake Reed in 1996 had 8.
Hmm.
He's another good wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Thielen in 2017, which is this year as well, has 8.
Okay.
And Chris Carter had 7 in 1999. So these two Vikings receivers are in elite company.
All righty. Well, I mean, keep feeding these guys the ball. We're going to need them, especially without Dalvin Cook. That's all for the show for now. We're going to be back with another Wobcast on Sunday. So please be sure to stay tuned for that. We will preview this Chicago Bears-Minnesota Vikings Monday Night Football game. Again, we're going to record that on Sunday and get it to you at some point on Sunday or maybe early Monday. That will be for your listening pleasure as you wait all day on Monday, a work/school day, for the Vikings and the Bears to kick it off at Soldier Field on Monday Night Football. Chris is not a Twins fan, but I am. Congratulations, Minnesota Twins.
Hell of a
on
season.
A great season.
You have to say they broke the record for 103 losses last year and making it to the playoffs this year. Hell of a season for the Minnesota Twins.
Your Yankees, Chris, move on. I also like the Yankees, which I know is sacrilege to say as a Twins fan. I'm a big Yankees guy. I grew up watching sports with my parents, but also with my grandparents and my grandpa. And when my grandpa was, you know, a kid growing up, the Yankees were the cat's tail, you know.
So makes sense.
I respect the Yankees, love it when the Pinstripes win, and I'm rooting for them to beat the Indians. Also rooting for the Lynx tonight. If you're listening to this and it's still Wednesday, the Lynx play tonight, game 5, the deciding game of the WNBA Finals against the Los Angeles Sparks. Lindsey Whalen, one of my favorite competitors and athletes of all time, Lindsey Whalen, leading the Lynx against the Sparks tonight. Good luck to the Minnesota Lynx. Hopefully they can bring another title home, one of the great dynasties in WNBA history. All right, that's it for this edition of the Wobcast. On behalf of producer and co-host Chris Corso, I am your host Mike Wobshaw, signing off for now and letting you know we'll be back over the weekend. Until then, have a good day, everyone.